Let's head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Mark Packer, former ACC Network host. Mark, how are you? How is retirement treating you, my friend? Hopefully well.
Well, it's different. I got to be honest with you. You know, I watch games now completely different. It used to be I'm constantly taking notes and thinking of offbeat things to get into for the week. Now I just put my feet up with a bourbon and don't care. I mean, don't care. So life's pretty good. I got to be honest with you.
Right. Just one bourbon?
No, it's one bourbon per possession. And it's all about taste.
That's funny. Well, obviously, Carolina, we're going to get to a couple of ACC teams here, but Carolina, that was the big, island game last night, and everyone's talking about Belichick. Sonny Dykes said after the game, no one respected us. All they talked about was Belichick. So right. we just felt like we had to go out and prove something. They did. Carolina obviously has a bunch of new guys, a bunch of new players. Lopez looked terrible. Your thoughts on that outcome, because that did surprise me. 48-14 did surprise me.
Well, first of all, Sonny Dykes was 1,000,000,000% right, and all you had to do is watch the first hour of the ESPN pregame,
right?
Where everything was, let's just slobber all over Bill Belichick. And listen, when he was hired back in December, I said North Carolina's going to become the new college football reality show, and it has.
Yeah,
and people are going to watch North Carolina and couldn't even find it on the map, but because of Bill Belichick, all of a sudden you're going to say, "Hey, how'd they do this weekend?" So it's a whole new atmosphere, stratosphere for eyeballs on North Carolina football. And when you bring in 70 new guys, 40 in the transfer portal, 30 in recruiting, I mean, it's going to take some time. And if you only watched the opening possession last night of that game and turned it off, if you only watched the opening possession and you saw North Carolina go down six plays, whatever it was, touchdown, and you turned it off and went to bed, and you woke up this morning and said, "Hey, what's the final score?" 48-14. You said, "What? That Carolina team looks really good." So, again, it's one game. You can't go too crazy. The good news for North Carolina is that the ACC gave them an unbelievable schedule. I mean, they get a chance to avoid Miami, Florida State, Georgia Tech, SMU, and Louisville. I would make the case that that is five of the six best teams in the league. That you at least would assume after 1 week of football, Clemson being the other one I'd throw in there, and they have to play the Tigers next month. So the schedule could not be any easier. But the performance last night was abysmal, and I know North Carolina fans are bummed out. But, again, it's 1 week. They get Charlotte and I think Richmond after that, so maybe they get some confidence. And I still think that team could get to a bowl, best-case scenario, and I think the schedule will help them. But last night was certainly a disappointment.
Now, do you think that that Belichick eventually will move back to Max Johnson? Max Johnson had that awful injury last year in the Minnesota game. But do you think eventually he goes away from Gio Lopez? I know, look, I might be overreacting because of how bad they were last night, but do you think he eventually goes to Max Johnson, Brad Johnson's son?
Well, I think, the good news for Belichick and his team is that they'll put the ball out there and say, "Hey, somebody go earn it."
Right?
Again, they're spending a lot of cash on getting Gio in there, and he struggled last night. But again, it's one game.
It's one game.
I don't think
you're right.
Go crazy. Mm-hmm. Max getting back in there after that gruesome injury last year against Minnesota was a really cool story. So you know he's got experience. He can lead you somewhere. But you know Belichick will figure all that stuff out. Again, I think a lot of credit needs to go to TCU last night, because after that opening drive, and Sonny Dykes even said, "Hey, I'm not sure what we were going to go up against." Once they saw it, made some adjustments. They basically kicked North Carolina all over the yard last night. So TCU gets a lot of credit. They were a much better football team. But like I said, North Carolina's schedule is going to allow them at least some flexibility to get some answers. But, again, for a North Carolina fan who was thinking, "Hey, we got the GOAT. We're on our way. We're going to win 10, 12 games. Let's go." Last night was a rude awakening. Unwelcome to reality.
You know, it is amazing that Max Johnson, this is his sixth year of college football.
Yeah,
he's played with three different schools. He actually had a really good year, I think, his second year at LSU. I think it was maybe a sophomore year. But you do talk about experience. Now, obviously, last year he missed the entire thing because of the injury. But 6 years of college football, that's a lot of reps. That's a lot of practice time.
Yeah, so, and he's also seen live bullets. So some respects, you know, maybe that goes as something that Belichick will look at this week. But, again, North Carolina's got a lot more issues than just what they've got at quarterback. I thought that the line of scrimmage, they got pushed around last night. And again, give TCU a lot of credit. That's a team that had a lot of starters coming back, and as Sonny Dykes said, got completely disrespected by ESPN and everybody else, and he was 1,000% right, and they played with a chip on their shoulder, and they shoved it down Carolina's throat.
Mark, another team that got pushed around at the line of scrimmage was Alabama by Florida State. Yeah. I don't think a lot of people saw that result coming. How surprised were you not only by the final score, but by the fact that Alabama was just out-physicaled on both sides of the ball by the Seminoles?
I knew Florida State would be motivated, but I thought so would Alabama. And that one, to me, was the biggest shocker of the weekend. It was just with the intensity that Florida State played. And Mike Norvell is a really good football coach. Last year was one of those things that if it could go wrong, it went wrong. But, man, given what Gus came in there and his concept with Tommy Castellanos, give that kid some credit because he was talking a big game in the middle of the summer. And, you know, Nick Saban can't save him, and he was right. But I'm excited for Florida State and their fan base because they want to be great again. And again, it wasn't just 2 years ago. They're 13-0 and got screwed by Alabama and that whole college football playoff thing, but that's a whole separate story. But, you know, Bama had something to play for, too. And I just was stunned with the lack of urgency with them. I mean, they got punched in the face. Again, much like the Carolina game last night, first time Bama touched it, they went down the field, scored, and you're thinking, oh, boy, this could get ugly. But, man, I was really impressed with Florida State. And, of course, their fan base, the new dope Campbell Stadium, everything else, there's a lot of momentum. And all of a sudden, Florida State-Miami kind of feels like the good old days again, right? I mean,
right.
Ironic given the fact when Miami joined the league 20-some-odd years ago, we all just assume we're going to get Miami-Florida State in that ACC championship game every year. We've never seen it. Who knows? They're going to see each other next month. But both of those teams were, I think, the two most impressive out of the ACC over the weekend.
And Castellanos, you know, obviously more of a runner than a passer. I mean, he's a really good runner. I remember seeing him last year when Boston College went down to Blacksburg.
Yep.
And they just bottled him up and made him run. Yep. I'm sorry, made him pass.
Incredible.
So that was very impressive. And like you said, I was very surprised because Bama didn't really respond.
No.
You know?
And that, you know, that is so counter
yes.
to what you expect from not only Alabama, but really quality top-flight SEC teams. I mean, you know, hey, you may jump them, but guess what? They're going to fight you again. I just never got a sense that there was a fight out of Alabama. And that is just, again, it's not like that was a Nick Saban sitting over there. Alabama's got something to prove. And that was an absolute punch in the face. And, again, just knowing the fan base down there and the passion, which is Alabama football, that will not fly. So, again, they're going to get a chance to get tested multiple times in that league. But that was an ugly, ugly start for the Tide, but fantastic for Florida State.
I'm sure you were enjoying your bourbon watching an awful offense when the Hokies went down to Atlanta to play South Carolina. Now, I was impressed by the defense because the defense really kept him in it, and he's got a bunch of new players.
Yep.
But, man, Drones was so bad. He was 1-for-13. I know you know this. 1-for-13 inside South Carolina's territory with two awful picks. There's a lot of pressure on Coach Pry this year for a lot of different reasons, but that's not good. And then Vanderbilt, who really played well last year, and I was at that game. Vanderbilt beat them last year down there. They're coming in with a good running back that can run. I don't feel great about this Hokie team right now.
You know, I hate putting must-win tags on teams or games or schools and all that stuff, but I think during the offseason, when I looked at Virginia Tech's schedule, coming off what has happened the last couple of years, and I like Coach Pry, but you got to win. And
Right. Winning
close games has just been a nightmare for the Hokies under the Pry regime. And, you know, there was this thing, it's 10-8 at halftime on Sunday. You're thinking, oh, here we go again. Virginia Tech just didn't make enough plays. And ironically, I mean, listen, a special teams touchdown, that was like a dagger to the heart. If you're a Virginia Tech fan, I mean, Beamer's the head coach on the other side, and he beat you on the punt return and everything else. But when I looked at the schedule, South Carolina, I didn't think they would win that game. But Virginia Tech at home against Vandy, a team that kind of ruined it. You mentioned that game last year, and Diego Pavia goes nuts, and of course, he's back. This feels like a must-win game. And I hate putting labels like that on teams, especially going into week two. But given the pressure, given what's at stake, you're at home, you're playing somebody that beat you and kind of pissed you off last year. You're coming off a performance on Sunday in which, you know, there were some positives, but yet there's some things we got to be better at. This feels like a game that Virginia Tech simply cannot be 0-2 heading into the rest of the season. It just can't be 0-2. You've got to be able to hold serve at home. Fans should be fired up. They shouldn't always are. But this is the kind of game you just got to win this game if you're Virginia Tech. End of story, period.
Yep, because Vanderbilt, Old Dominion, Wofford, they have to be 3-1 before they go down to Raleigh. They have to be, because he's still got to play Florida State and Miami at the end of the year. I mean, and now those look like losses. So
exactly right. And you got to win close games. I mean, that trend must change ASAP for Virginia Tech. I mean, you're to the point now with your program, the way you've recruited, the guys that you got in place. Like you said, it looks like they've made some serious improvements on the defensive side, which is great. But winning close games has got to be a must. And, again, it's a game Saturday that if you're just kind of channel surfing and you're looking at scores, that is one to keep an eye on for the big picture if you're Virginia Tech fan, no doubt.
Who impressed you more, Miami or Florida State?
Florida State, because I didn't – listen, they were a two-touchdown dog at home, and I thought Bama had something to play for. And I was just impressed with the physicality of Florida State. I really liked what Miami did, too, because I think those are two really good teams. And again, I think Notre Dame's still going to be fine, given even though they lost the game. But Miami, again, you know about the physicality, Mario Cristobal, you know how they want to play. There's sometimes I think he gets lost on game days, but I thought they did a really great job. And the fact that Notre Dame responded in the fourth quarter and then Carson Beck drives him down to kick the field goal, they win the game. I mean, crowd was great. Great win for Miami. And of course, we're going to find out more about the Canes, too, in a couple of weeks when Florida comes down to town. Which should be another great game. But if you're a Miami fan and you're a Florida State fan, it kind of feels like, hey, it's not like back in the 90s again. I mean, both those teams play with some passion, and fans are bumble. Guys are flying around. Crowds are into it. So that's a really good news for the ACC. In fact, I think it's the second time in the last 45 years that the ACC had a pair of top 10 non-conference wins. So a good start. The only thing missing was Clemson holding serve at home against LSU, and it may turn out to be that LSU might be the best team in the country. We'll see.
Mark, I'm looking ahead to week two. It starts Friday night with James Madison going to Louisville. If I'm Louisville, like, that team would scare me coming into my building. Like, that can't be an easy early season matchup for them on a Friday night.
I have tons of respect for Jeff Brohm. I think he is a great, not good, but a great offensive mind. Always has his quarterbacks and skill guys that can make plays. I think Louisville is flying underneath the radar, but you're right. I mean, they can't be looking ahead like they've arrived. You got to be careful. But I think Louisville is a legitimate top 25 team. I do. I think they are going to be good. I think they're going to cause a problem. I think they're going to stick their nose in people's business when we start talking about the ACC race. I'd say the same thing with Georgia Tech after what I saw from them going on the road against Colorado, as physical as their offensive line is. And, you know, Kings, I think they're a really good quarterback. There's some cool storylines in the league. I mean, you throw in the state of Florida that we just talked about. Clemson, I still think, is a good football team, even though they got to figure out some issues on the offensive side. I think SMU, Georgia Tech, Louisville are all legit. The league may be a little bit deeper than what most people thought before the season started.
Yeah,
Mark,
good stuff.
We always appreciate the time. Keep enjoying retirement. Enjoy that bourbon, and we'll talk
we
to
miss you
again soon.
We miss you watching you in your basement.
Well, listen, anytime you guys need me to shoot the breeze about anything, call, because I keep telling you guys do great work, and anytime I could be a part of it, I love it.
So, all right, thanks,
Mark. We'll be calling you,
appreciate
no doubt.
It.
You got it. We'll talk to you.
Thanks,
too
nice. Mark Packer, former guy. ACC Network host. He's always great on the show. Don't forget, coming up at 9:45, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Dave Chappelle when he comes to town in October at Capital One Arena. We'll do that at 9:45. We'll do EB's Entertainment page next.